Blog Talk Radio.
I kind of like that guy's voice. I like his attitude. Boys and girls, if you find this show offensive, listen, don't make a big deal of it. Just turn to another show. On the other hand, you want to talk about from one American to another, from one European to one American, if there's something you want to talk about, that's what we're here for. Let's talk about what's happening. By the way, also, happy Halloween, everybody. Hope everybody had a good time. Any kids come to your house?
Yeah, the ones across the street, that's it.
Yeah. I was quite surprised. We had a lot of kids turn out this year. I don't know. A lot of candy was given out, and that should be all right. You know, some years are good and bad.
You know, Bill, we got a couple of emails. Remember the rant I played?
Well, that guy was outrageous. That guy was off the charts.
People wanted to hear that guy again. I'm trying to contact him so I can get him on the show.
Wow.
But there's a long trail of things here to get to him. But,
well, help you out. He's a black guy. Is that maybe?
Yeah, he's a black guy.
Maybe you can narrows it down.
Yeah,
try to say.
He's a black guy.
Don't contact any Mexicans. Don't talk to any black guy. Look for black guy. Okay.
Yeah. And
no Orientals.
No.
See, now we're cutting it down.
Yeah.
See, we're going to find the guy. Okay.
And what we're trying to do is get a hold of him so I can have him on the show because, well, you'll hear.
Yeah. If you haven't heard this guy, hang on to your chair.
This is a message for Obama.
This is just a frustrated American.
Frustrated.
This is to the government. The United States government. No, $14.6 trillion, B. All my credit cards would have been cut off a long time before that. All I'm asking y'all to do is balance a fucking budget, B. That's all y'all got to do. Son, we voted for y'all because we were worried about gay rights, marijuana getting legalized, all of these other things that we were concerned about. How can we get roads, more money for schools? You bastards can't even balance a checkbook. A checkbook, B? This is something every American has to go through every week. We got to figure out what we're going to pay, what we got to put off a little bit. You bastards got the $14.6 trillion before you realize, oh, shit, we've reached the debt ceiling. Listen, you're the best and the brightest. Harvard, Yale, Brown, Cornell, this is what we put out. Should have went to Norfolk State. Bastards, you would have got the same education. You would have spent a whole lot less money. Simple fucks. All I'm saying to you is, and this isn't personal, this isn't Democratic or Republican, this is everybody. Stop being a dickhead and balance the fucking budget. My second question, though, my second issue is, how the fuck do you owe China, B? How do you owe China? How can I tell my daughter with a straight face that capitalism is a better system than communism if we're borrowing all of our fucking money from the biggest communist country on the fucking planet? You ass, stop your life, B. Get your whole shit together. Get all of your shit together. Don't do another press conference. Fuck CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Don't do any more television appearances until you got my fucking budget balanced. And I'm going to tell you this. Everybody who has a loan to the federal government, fuck paying it. Don't pay your budget. Don't pay your bills because they ain't paying theirs. The fuck I got to pay my bills for if you don't pay your bills? I'm not doing what you don't do. You're the leader. I'm following. You don't pay, I don't pay. How about that, simple motherfuckers? What is your credit score? What's the government's credit score right now? It's got to be a 350. But you motherfuckers going to tell me I can't buy a car if my credit score is at a certain number? Your whole life is a 350, B. Your FICO score, your Experian, fucking TransUnion, all your shit's low, B. Get your shit together. President Obama, personal to you, all the black people was proud. We got a black president. You acting like one right now, B. Pay your fucking bills on time. Now, I ain't even got, it's too fucking hot for me to talk. I'm sweating and shit. Shit got me sweating. You know why? Because so I ain't pay the fucking light bill on Earth. That's why 37 fucking states right now going through a heat wave. Because not only y'all not pay the fucking Chinese, y'all didn't pay the fucking light. Do you see how fucking hot it is? I'm fucking, I'm pissed the fuck. I can't.
It's a man of, he seems to be lost for words here. No, let's talk about it. He's hit some very damn good points there. And the number one point I always like to make is, all you Americans that are buying Chinese products, stop. All you big organizations across America, across the world, that are investing in China, stop. If you've forgotten, let me explain to you. There's communism, capitalism. Communist hates us. One of the tenets of communism, and let's switch the away from the monetary aspects. So let's talk about the religious aspect for a second. One of the tenets of communism is to control and abolish all religions. If anybody out there who's got a favorite religion, if we continue to support the communists, you won't have one. In China today, there's only state-approved religions. And yet, I find Americans still buying communist products. I find Americans going over to China. The hell with the Great Wall. Listen to me. The hell with the Great Wall. I don't even give a damn about Chinese food anymore. I'm telling you, listen. We got to stop this. We are so far stretched out now, boys and girls. It's going to snap. Screwdriver and I are going to be okay. But it's our children, and certainly our grandchildren, are going to wake up. It ain't going to be no great, great, great America. It's going to be Chinese. It's going to be communist. And I don't have a single bad gripe in my body, not a bad bone against Chinese people. It's the goddamn government. America, wake up. World, wake up. China doesn't like us. This show is illegal in China. Everything's illegal in China. Is that what you people want for your own lifestyle? Stop buying Chinese products. I'm not bad-mouthing Walmart, Kmart, wherever the hell else is out there. I'm just saying, look at the label. It says, made in China. I'm guaranteed it's made by sweat wages. These people are getting paid little or nothing. The government's making everything. You know, Philip, even today, if you're a billionaire in China, you can't get out of China with your money.
Nope.
This is just... And yet we Americans and the Canadians, our friends over there in England, Mexico, stop. We gotta end China. So, I'm not anti-Chinese, there's not a Chinese person in the world I gotta gripe against. But come on, it's the government. Who the hell doesn't know about communism? I think it was Khrushchev with the Russians, communists at that time. Now they're our allies. Gets me a little confused. He said, America, we will destroy you from within. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening today.
Yeah, we have a caller, Pete. Pete's on the phone, Bill.
Pete, is that you, Boston?
Hey, Bill. Phil, what's happening?
Yeah,
hey, I'm prepared to answer that. The answer, you didn't know what was going to come out of my mouth. I bet you thought I was going to mention training bras.
I'm so glad you didn't mention training bras.
Hey, I got another guy on the phone with me. Tell him who you are and where you're from.
I'm Gino. I'm from Fitchburg. He's
available. Hello, Gino.
Gino, you you sound a little shy. Is this your first time on the air, Gino?
Hell no.
Yeah, sure. I got my own TV show. You want to come on it?
They're in California, man.
Nice.
They're in California.
I'm in California. I used to live in Van Nuys. That was fun.
Oh, that was nice. Hang on a sec, guys. We're going to bring another caller in also. Screwdriver, who do we got there? 619? 619, you're on the air, too.
I am on the air. Yes.
You are on the air. It's you.
I am on the yes, it is me, Bill.
It is us.
It is.
Hello, friend.
Gino.
They're on the air, too, darling.
Well, but you know what? Gino invited you guys, but he didn't invite me. I don't think that's fair.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I'm not here to judge my friend's sexual preferences, all right? It's not that type of a show. What Gino does in Boston, Okay, we're not that way.
I believe you got to find the spirit of yourself, the soul. And I don't think, believe...
Oh, God, here we go.
That,
yeah.
No. I don't believe that we have to worry about anything. They told me that we should always, you know, talking against ain't going to do nothing. All we should be doing is talking for what we feel at the time, because we're not here that long.
Well, we're not here that long, and every day we're above ground is a good day. Whether
but you know what?
With
when
pain,
we leave
or not.
When we leave these bodies, we live forever. So what's the problem?
Oh my God! Not a
religion. Oh God! I don't want to live forever. I wouldn't want to scare people.
Tonight,
I'm not religious. I can't be religious. I'd be ridiculous to say anything religious.
You're a born again Catholic.
No, I
was kicked out of the Catholic school.
I believe what Abraham believed. He's the father of all nations.
Yeah.
Now you look at Israel, who's the father of all the Muslim nations. All right. Look at what he did. No, but if you think about it, that makes them half Jewish because Abraham was his father. So they're killing their own people.
Oh, ouch! Well,
so,
I've got to go to work, so I want to drop
well,
this on
you
real
work
quick.
At? You work at?
I'm
looking for a girl that wants to make a lot of money.
I'm working the hospital tonight.
When I get in a bike accident this year, I'll make sure I get shipped to California.
Oh, I don't know if you want me as bedside, honey. Trust
I don't think she's from California.
No?
No, I'm not. I'm not originally from California. I'm from New York City. Lived in
New
Florida.
New York City, Duwai Diddy.
Yeah, yeah. Hey. Oh, this is Fran. Yeah, hi, Fran. It's Pete.
Hi, Fran.
I just have to drop this on you. You know that sometimes I get a little corny. However,
God bless. All nurses do.
Oh, I'm not a nurse, honey. You wouldn't want me as a nurse because you probably wouldn't survive. However, you know how I get a little corny with my little hats? Well, I have Curious George on my hat. And do you know, I actually had an officer follow me into a gas station so he could check out my lid.
Get out of here, really?
Yeah, I'm not joking.
I had cops follow me all the time. I feel safe.
Yeah.
Wherever I go, they go.
Hey, we can relate to that out here.
Yeah. It makes you feel comfortable knowing that they're always on your tail.
Yeah.
Just as long as they don't run it over.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an
but, yeah, I just had to drop that on you because I thought you'd get a big kick out of that. I did.
I got a big kick out of it.
I looked at the officer, and it was like, what? And then you realized there was a helmet under that knitted hat.
Oh, it's a helmet thing. Is that what it is?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You know how you beat the helmet law? Let me tell you how you can beat the helmet law.
Wear it on your neck.
Just wear it on your shoulders because the helmet law doesn't tell you where to wear the helmet. Doesn't tell you to wear it on the head. Just says you got to wear a helmet.
Yep.
I loved it.
I beat my helmet law. That's how I beat my helmet.
Who was telling you that if you have a beanie on your head that you don't have to wear a helmet at all?
If people had the guts, they just not wear the helmet no more like they did in Connecticut. Everyone just threw their helmets away. The cops, they can ticket you all day. First of all, it's unconstitutional to tell you what to wear. People just don't go that far. That's the problem. They just
Fran, let me ask you a question before you run off. Fran, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm going to do a Toys for Tot for the Marine Corps run this weekend. Are you going to be in the area?
I don't get done Saturday work until 3:30.
No. I'll be gone. It's a stupid morning thing. Then I'm going to leave about 1 o'clock. There's a... What are we doing Saturday afternoon? There's a Vietnam vet. No, not a Vietnam.
No, it's Wings Warriors and...
Another veteran thing anyway,
yeah.
Saturday afternoon. So I'm doing one in the morning.
It's going to be a big...
The Marine Corps run, then I'm going to go one for the vets in the afternoon. So not this week, though. You're tied up. Okay, buddy.
Well, this Sunday is also the Barry and Carroll That's coming up.
On Solidaire?
Of course, there's the abate meeting. I'll be there.
Fran, tell us, tell our East cousins about our good friends Barry and Carol. What happened to them, if you would?
They were slaughtered in their house There's not a whole lot of information on that. There is a $51,000 bounty.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry, Fran. They were slaughtered in their house?
Yes. They were killed in their house.
Oh.
And they're not giving a whole lot of information. They didn't. It's not a whole case yet, per se.
Yeah, we're getting taken over.
Goddamn communist.
And we've got to do it on my dime.
Go ahead.
There we go.
Okay, friend.
Okay. So they were killed in their house. The detective that is working on it is, it's not a dead cold case yet. They're looking for some leads to lead them to the killers. I do believe that the one Harley was at somebody else's house. The knives that were theoretically stolen were recovered. They were at somebody else's house. I do believe there is one Harley still missing. But it's hard to say who was actually involved. But there is a $51,000 if someone can give enough information that would lead to the conviction of the killers, they would actually get $51,000. That's what's in
the
kitty.
This is an older Harley from the 1990s. It was in their house was ransacked. A lot of personal items were taken. This is a this has something to do with something, and nobody knows for sure exactly. But you don't take a 1990 Harley Davidson. You might take a 1950 Harley or brand new Harley, but a 1990 Harley and ransack the people's house for whatever you're looking for, and then kill both people inside the house. There's a lot of
personal.
We'll never find out, but good friends of ours. Home invasion, bam.
The thing with that, even with it being a home invasion, the reason they usually catch the idiots is because they open their mouths and boast the fact that they did it. And somebody up there, if they just keep their ears open to boasters,
hey, Amanda, did you know that I killed those bikers?
And you know what? Listen a little harder at that point because there's $51,000 to catching that person. So anyone out there that knows anything of those killers, you could be a rich man. You could buy half a house. Or you could buy a Harley or buy two Harleys if they're used. Or you can buy four Hondas. I mean, there's a lot you can buy with that kind of money. But, that's
Gino
going on Sunday.
A nurse?
Gino could
buy a nurse.
Wants to buy a
nurse. Nurse's alpha to show up. He don't give a damn about a nurse. He just wants to be
hey,
nurse.
I don't. No, you know what?
Anyone
Bill,
takes life.
Bill, you've seen me. Can you imagine me in a nursing outfit? God, Halloween is over.
This is baby girl. I've been taking my vitamins. I'm man enough. My two cousins from the East Coast. I don't know if they're man enough, girl, but I'm taking my vitamins. I'm the man. Understand, I'm the only one that can.
Well, darling, unfortunately for me, I have to cut this short because I really do have to go to work.
All right, darling. Your husband.
Have
okay,
a great show.
And I'll see you with...
You should have received some blankets, I believe. And I did send some toys up to the Toys for Tots. If there's anything else missing, just let me know, and I'll try and shake some trees and get you what you need for the runs.
Who sent them up, do you know?
I gave them to someone from the Abate Run. I even washed them. I even washed these blankets and stuff for you. You know?
Somebody dropped a couple of bags off. That run has been pushed up to December. We got the December 3rd, we got that Vietnam Vet Run, which we leave our shopping bonsai out to Pala Indian Reservation. And then I think it's December 14th, could be the 18th, I don't have my schedule. That's going to be the big toys for the big cover-up. A bunch of motorcycle clubs coming down, all that. Hopefully you and your husband can stop by for that, maybe, if you can. I'll try to get a fire
on.
Is that
on Sunday? Are they on Sundays? If it's a Sunday, I can make it. If it's a Sunday,
okay.
I can do it.
All right.
Phil, you send me the update. By the way, I appreciated that music, and yes, I did put it on my Facebook as well.
Okay, Fran, you get a kick out of this here.
nice music.
You met the Warriors of the Cross before, the Christian Motorcycle Club?
Yes.
They came up to me and they said, Bill, we don't have a church and we don't have a building. We don't have anybody. We'd like to know, can we have Sunday services at your bike shop? I got customers coming in. And then I figured, what the hell? Why not? So now
why
every
not?
Sunday.
What's
that's when I said, what the hell? So now every Sunday, I got the Warriors of the Cross outside. I got club people inside, and I invite the club people. You want to stop outside? Go ahead. Not too many have stopped yet, but hey, I got the shop open. They need a place to stay. Who am I to say no, right?
And you know what?
Good thing. A lot of people be following. I ride with the seat of Abraham. We help the homeless. That's
there you go.
Oh, we always did that.
We help homeless vets. And that's what makes me
actually
mad.
We do more than that. It's not just the homeless vets. There's a number of people that we actually help out.
I know. I always say illegal aliens have a home. Why can't a homeless vets have a home?
No kidding.
Oh, you're sweet. Okay, honey, I really do have to go. Okay.
Fran, get out of here.
I've got you.
Bye, Fran.
Get out of here. Fran, get out of here. Go to work. God's sakes, woman. Your husband expects you to bring that money home. You can't be out here wasting time talking to us. Through rain and sleep and snow. Better have my money.
We had enough snow already.
Yeah, we lost power for 4 days here.
Yeah.
Wow.
We had enough snow on the East Coast to kill God.
Gino didn't lose power, though. I don't get it.
No, I prayed. When you pray.
I prayed, too. It didn't work.
Well, you should have came to my house.
Hey, Phil, is that Shirley in there in the chat room?
Who?
Shirley. Hi, Shirley. Is that Shirley? I'm not logged in, but I can see who's typing.
No.
Oh. He's seeing things.
No, we're waiting for Bradley. He's calling from Australia.
Cool.
That's nice. I like Australia. That's
Can you give us updates on the bikey legislation? Which, if you guys haven't heard this, I'm going to play this right now. You guys can comment afterwards, okay?
Sure.
This is by, this guy's name is Ferret. He's from the Fakes.
That's a pretty big club over there in Australia, guys.
I'm a father of two, a grandfather of five. Been a member of the Finks Motorcycle Club for 22 years. And it's as much a part of who I am as being a father or a grandfather. It's where I've met my best friends, spent some of the milestones of my life, and found people who share my lifelong interest in motorcycles. Contrary to what you may hear from government press releases, being a Fink doesn't mean that I must be involved in drug trafficking, violence, intimidation, or any other form of crime. Organising it, participating in it, or condoning it. But that's me. I'm not here to tell you members of motorcycle clubs are all saints. There may be people amongst their members who've been in trouble, and what happened at Sydney Airport was a tragedy. Hopefully, with the clubs now sitting together on the United Motorcycle Council, communication between clubs can be improved to alleviate any further tension. Right. My message to you today is that the behaviour of the few does not give our state governments the right to punish the majority. Does not give the government or the police the right to apply a different legal standard to people who look like me or belong to my club. Most of all, it does not make it right for the government to pass laws that lead to innocent people losing their jobs. That's exactly what's happening. About 2 weeks ago, a member of a Christian motorcycle club in New South Wales was told to stop associating with people in the United Motorcycle Council or lose his public service job. My message today is that all people living in Australia should be free to lawfully associate. Our existing laws are sufficient to punish crime and corruption. There's no need in this country for a law that says that any citizen can lose their livelihood and be declared a criminal simply by talking to someone else. The behaviour of the few does not justify punishing or taking away the rights of the whole. Think about it this way. If the behaviour of a few was enough to justify a criminal tag being applied to all, then Anna Bligh up in Queensland should be declaring her own party a criminal organisation. And our Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd, would also be guilty, because his party has accepted donations from individuals named by US Senate as having associates involved in organised crime. As I said, I'm not trying to say all bikers are saints, just like not all politicians or police are squeaky clean. But I would say that there is more organised criminal activity every day in Australia's governments and police services than you would ever find. find at your local biker clubhouse. I'm honoured to be here today representing the 18 clubs of the UMC of New South Wales and speaking on their behalf. There are two things I'd like to achieve from this event. Firstly, I'm going to ask you, the members of the media and government, to write and speak fairly about us and our members. And I'm going to ask you to apply a healthy degree of scepticism to what you hear coming out of the government about bikers and crime. Secondly, I'm going to challenge the media to apply these laws, the same laws of scrutiny and the same concern for human rights that were applied in this country to the previous government's anti-terror laws. These anti-association laws are continuing the job the previous government started stripping away our legal rights. Now, firstly, about the media. You may have noticed we don't comment on what's written about us. We rarely tell our side of the story. What you think about motorcycle clubs, you probably assume from the way we look, what you've read about in the news, seen in biker movies, or have been told by the government or police. I guess you could say that the way we've been portrayed over the years isn't something we've fought against. What this means is that what's said about us has gone uncontested. Many of you may argue that you think that bikers deserve whatever bad publicity we get. However, something we've been looking at pretty closely lately is the fact that there's a double standard from government about the way information released about bikers is treated. And one of my key reasons to talk to you today is to ask you, members of the media, to be aware of how the government talks about us and to be less accepting of what they give you as fact. To give you an example, we've all heard recently about TV actress Jodie Gordon being found with an alleged Rebels biker. This story took a life of its own as it was reported and re-reported as fact by media around the country. The fact is, the guy in the story is not a biker. He's never been a member of the Rebels or any other club. However, at some point, he has had friends in a motorcycle club or ridden a motorcycle. As a result of this, bikers get the credit for the behaviour of some TV star we haven't even met. Let me give you another example. The Daily Telegraph, Tuesday, July the 14th. Headline, Bikey Linked to Law Chief. We'll have a look and discover. It's about a convicted drug criminal worked undetected for 4 years in the state government's highest law office after changing a name. So this sounds serious? We'll look for the link. On the front page, we don't discover anything about bikers. So we go to page four. Oops. So we go forward. It then mentions the Attorney General. He's not a biker. Well, he's not in the thinks. Then it mentions the Premier. He's not a biker. And with his popularity, he probably wouldn't get in anyway. So where's the biker link? So then it mentions the woman's boyfriend. Surprise, surprise. He's not a biker. Then we go to the brother. Another surprise. Not a biker either. But we find that he was, in newspaper speak, allegedly linked to a motorcycle club. So hang on. The headline, Biker Linked to Law Chief, is actually so far from a real link to the Attorney General, it's ridiculous. Does anyone here in this room know the game 6 degrees of separation? I'm pretty sure that if I tried hard enough, I could find, from within my friends, relatives, people I've once met at the gym, a chain of people that would lead me to some very interesting, influential people. But does it mean I know them? So I asked around. And someone who works with me now, as an associate, is a former employee of Kevin Rudd. Therefore, Prime Minister, I bet you didn't know this. But there is a think link directly to your office in Parliament House. It's the same distance to connection of the alleged link to the story in the Daily Telegraph. Of course. Do I know Kevin Rudd? No. Have I met Kevin Rudd? No. Do I have any influence over Kevin Rudd? No. Would it be a complete beat up for any of you to publish a headline tomorrow? Simply to PM. Yes, it would. What I would like tomorrow's headline to focus on is the very real threat to civil liberties from the anti-association laws being introduced by most state governments. I'm not going to get into a lot of detail about the laws, as you will soon hear from one of Australia's leading criminologists on what that will mean for every Australian citizen. But I do want to challenge the media to apply more scrutiny to these laws. A few years ago, when the former federal government proposed some very serious laws to deal with terrorism, there was a national outcry about the volumes about their impacts on basic legal rights. Due to that public scrutiny, many of the harshest and most unjust elements of those laws were removed or watered down. As we've seen in the last 24 hours, that doesn't seem to have affected the ability to combat terrorism. It's ironic that much of the criticism of the anti-terror laws came from state governments, most of whom are now passing equally bad laws at the state level. What's worse is that because governments claim the laws are targeted only at bikers, they're going almost unreported by the media. But these laws do not only affect bikers. In fact, the New South Wales legislation doesn't even contain the words biker or motorcycle club. These laws strip away fundamental legal rights, such as freedom of association, the presumption of innocence, open court hearings, and the right of appeal. And then they can be used against any group or individual. I challenge the media, both here today and around Australia, to look far more seriously at these laws. Apply the same level of scrutiny you apply to the anti-terror laws, because the impact on human rights is just as bad. I might be just one person and just a dad from Western Sydney, but I'm telling you today, it's not just about me or even about people who ride motorcycles. It's an issue about human rights. It's an issue for every person listening to me here, in the press gallery, and at home across Australia. Don't just believe me. Find out for yourself. Read the legislation. You'll soon see what our governments are doing to us is a lot more scary than a few guys with tattoos and leather jackets. Thank you.
Let's get back to our cousins in the East Coast. So listen, you guys, I know you guys think you got it tough back there in Boston. We're complaining out here in California, but what do you think about our Australian brothers out there? Those guys are at war with the government. Did I still get my New England cousins out there?
Yeah.
There? Okay. What do you guys think of us? Yeah.
You're there. Yeah.
Oh.
We can hear
you. Gino hung up and he screwed my phone up when Gino hung up.
Oh, okay.
Get off the queue. Yeah. What do I think about Australia? They've been, the cops, they've been fighting bikers. It's tough to be a biker in Australia. Very tough. I remember when they went after the Finks Motorcycle Club, the cops, the government, and, you know, it's tough, man. It's like Canada.
Yeah, this guy was the president of the Finks.
What?
This guy was the president. He's the president.
Oh, that guy that was just talking was the president of the Finks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know who he is now. Yeah, I know. I remember reading this big article about the whole thing. Are they still in existence, that club?
Huh?
Are they still in existence, the Finks?
Yeah.
They're
hanging in there, man.
Every day is tough.
That's amazing because they got a lot of shit. It was a while back that I remember, but, man.
The government's taking the rights away. We had some boys over from Australia visiting me a while back, and they're some of the toughest boys I think I met. I don't mean physically, they were just so empowering. We had a lot of big guys. I mean, just down deep inside, these guys were tough. They weren't doing this to impress me. They just said that's how they got to live over there, Bill. They don't appreciate the hoggy chapters, and they don't appreciate, you know what? Be a biker, be an outlaw, or don't be an outlaw, they're telling me. And I'm thinking, well, there's room for everybody. They said, no, Bill, there's not, because they don't think the other clubs are supporting them in their endeavor to keep the human rights going there. Christian bike clubs, hog chapters over there, they said, Bill, they're not out there fighting our fight. They're ignoring it. We're on the line. They're telling me it was up to them. They'd do away with everybody unless it was an outlaw club, because only outlaw clubs are standing up to the government in Australia. Big statement. I disagree with it, but I can see where they're coming from.
And a lot of times you can't see it if you ain't living it. I mean, you can read about it in the paper, just like you talked about. The link, there was no link. It was just a headline.
My brothers were a guest of the Nomads between Sydney and Melbourne. They went for a ride. And their lifestyle was something right out of the Wild West. Because my two brothers are Californians and they're Americans, at least three times a week, they got into a fight in a bar. Nothing personal. just want to know, are these guys from California tough enough? After every fight, they're quick enough to buy my brother's drinks and all that. Nothing personal. They just want to make sure my brothers were tough enough. 3 fights a week on their vacation over there. They were loved and respected by the bikers, but they just didn't know if these California guys were tough enough. Once my brothers, you know, stood up, they got the respect they needed and all that. But to be over there, everything is Wild West. It's a tough way to go. Tough way to go, brother. You know, I tried to call my daughter a while back over there. Thank God the cell phone's working because all her lines were down there in Massachusetts.
Yeah, they...
You getting good telephone lines out there? You would hear okay?
Oh, actually, I have Verizon, and
okay.
I lose my phone whenever it rains out. The phone dies. Verizon sucks. We went 4 days with no electricity, no phone, no nothing. My fish died, my fish tank. The goddamn National Grid, the utility company out here, they were dragging their ass. They had over 300,000 people in Massachusetts without power. They still have several thousand without power. Literally, I live in a small town north of Boston. There's probably, I counted probably 30 utility trucks, National Grid trucks, sitting on their ass eating donuts, drinking coffee at Dunkin' Donuts, eating sandwiches, and we're sitting here freezing our asses off. They didn't do one thing. They waited and waited and waited. They finally fixed the goddamn power. But, you know, I mean, it's like, man, it got down to 40 degrees in my house. I was blowing smoke, you know, and I went and I started.
You're talking about children and senior citizens. They're the first ones affected by it.
Well, check this out. One street over from me, there's an old schoolhouse that they converted into senior housing. They never hooked a generator up, so that when the power went out, you know, it happened on Saturday night, they lost all their power in there. They had to bring ambulances down, take all the old people out, bring them to the hospital because they would have froze to death, you know. Now, I'm going to tell you. A few of my friends who are very wealthy, they got their electricity back the same day it went off.
Yeah.
They got their electricity back. What does that tell you? You know?
Yeah.
All my rich friends. Oh, Pete, we got electricity. Oh, really? You live in the same town as my mother. One street over, my mother's freezing to death. She's an old lady. And you guys, my mother doesn't have electricity. She just got hers back yesterday. But you guys got your electricity back the same day? I said, that's probably because you got a $500,000 house. You got money. Oh, no. I said, no, it's true. Sure, nobody, a lot of people don't believe that, but I believe it, man. They take care of the rich people here first. All the rich fucks got their electricity turned back on. We froze to death. And finally, we got turned back on after 4 days. But there's still people in Southbridge out by Worcester. They have no electricity. Deval Patrick, the governor here, is pissed. I was impressed. He was on the radio. He's like, National Grid, you need to get your asses moving, basically. You know, so I'm telling you, it got cold, man. It makes you appreciate the electricity and the heat and everything, you know. And you know what? I thought about you guys when I was when I was laying on my couch, freezing my ass off. I thought about Phil and Bill and how they were probably riding 70-degree, 80-degree weather. You know, and here I am freezing my ass off. You know, so it was terrible, man. It was terrible. Remind me of the blizzard of 78.
We do. Philip and I live in La La Land. We don't have any idea how lucky we are. Like this weekend, I'm doing 2 runs, and last weekend, Screwdriver and I were up north, up in Riverside. You know, we're on the road constantly. We just accept this. We assume this. I had a Levi jacket on. What did you wear last week? Just a shirt or what?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a Pendleton shirt. I put my Levi jacket on for the ride home. We just accept it. Sometimes I don't think we really realize how lucky we are.
A military vehicle. Because I live out of by Fort Devens, Bill. You must know Fort Devens.
I was born there.
Oh, you were born? Really? Oh, my God. Wow. What a small world. But they had a military vehicle driving around through the neighborhoods with the speakers on, you know, the PA, telling people, mm-hmm. Do this, do that. Something you'd see like a Nazi flick, you know, the propaganda, you know. I said, what the hell? You know, riding up and down the streets, you know, stay in your house. I said, this is crazy, man. This is crazy. All because we lost electricity. But, man, we got bombed. We got bombed with snow, man. We took everybody by surprise. Nobody was prepared.
Yeah.
Nobody was prepared. And there was people have died from this already. But I don't know. Yep, so National Grid definitely is going to be in big trouble for this one because they dragged their feet and all the old people froze, including my mother.
They're just going to pay a damn fine at best. It'll be business as usual, in my opinion.
Of course.
Oh, Christ.
I can tell you one thing, though. Check this out. The night I was, Monday night, I was at the Mobil gas station. Mobil had electricity, and it was cold out, and there was no lights on, but Mobil had electricity. I think they weren't running off a generator. I think that part of the town was not affected by the storm. All of a sudden, they hear this loud, like, motorcycle, you know, this guy come around the corner with a fat boy, flames all over it, nice, girl in the back. I was like, yeah, man, the air is freezing out, there's no electricity, nobody can see where they're going, but here comes this big fat boy with flames all down the tank, everything, and this girl in the back. I'm like, yeah, man, that's the way to go right there. He didn't give a shit that it was cold out, that there was no lights, he just went, man, he went, you know, it was great.
You know damn good and well it was nobody from California visiting. We're too wussy.
Speak for yourself.
Bullshit. Your blood's too thin, too, screwdriver. You couldn't make it back east anymore. We're spoiled.
Yeah, yeah. There's no comparison.
Mexico, you know,
no,
we're just...
I got news for you, though.
Oh, here we go.
I got news for you,
Chicago left you, buddy. You got no Chicago blood in you. It's gone.
I went there. It was 18 degrees. The train.
How long ago was
train.
It? How long ago was this?
3 years ago.
3 years ago. You couldn't do another winter.
Oh, he might have a point. He's a Marine, you know.
That's true. That's true. I'm Army, so I know damn good well I'm not going out in the cold.
But we got let me play the second part of this. This is it's the Australian state laws remove the right to freedom of association to protect us from the evil bikers.
Now, who's going
to
speak? It's not the guy, the fake.
This is a panel where he spoke. This is the rest of them are all going to speak now.
No.
I think you get my point. It's a media-generated phobia and fear. It's not something that's coming from the average citizen at all.
Yeah, just following on from what John said there, Philip, has there been any attempt by the New South Wales authorities to talk to the council?
No, no attempt at all. Our first meeting that we organised meeting for the council was raided by the police. And people were held there for 2 hours while their cars were searched, while they were strip searched, while their identification was taken.
That's what our gun squad member was charged with, this ludicrous charge that he still has to spend probably thousands of dollars on to fight.
The next question is from Tony Melville.
Tony Melville, Director of the National Press Club. A question for Professor Wilson. I'm not a lawyer, but I was just trying to think of comparative laws against individual groups that might have had some impact. And one that came to mind was the laws in the that created the Australian Building and Construction Commissioner. who had extra interrogation powers, for example, and was aimed at lawlessness in the construction industry. And that is having an effect at decreasing lawlessness in that industry. The government's agreed to phase that out. I'm just wondering whether there's going to be a period perhaps where you could campaign for these laws to be assessed and then phased out rather than opposing them altogether and seeing whether they are having any impact.
Well, I'm not all that familiar with the interrogation laws in the building industry, but these association laws are very different. They're quite unique laws, actually. Laws like this have been banned in the United States. Laws where you where you convict people of a crime without a trial, which is essentially what these laws are. So I would not want any sort of experimental period where they are introduced. I think they should never be introduced because I think they would be counterproductive. And I think the Canadian experience shows that they actually lead to more violence rather than less violence, because if you push people underground and you give them nowhere else to go, some of them in some clubs, and Eric might want to say this, but I'll say, some of them are going to get very violent and nasty about this.
We shouldn't say that, Paul.
Expanding on the central point there, would you like to talk a bit about the old consulting laws and what about their downfall?
Well, Kim, you probably know as much about those as I do in terms of the I mean, I think the consorting laws were one of the major problems that arose pre the Fitzgerald Inquiry, and I think the relationships between some criminals and some police and some criminals and some police was a very sick relationship. We're finding, by the way, the same relationship has developed now between prison informers and police. These are the consorting laws, but I believe that the association laws, just taking your question on one step, are laws which could also be very dangerous for police forces, because they do give the police the chance, the potential, to reward some organised crime groups, and I'm not talking about bikers only, I'm talking about groups generally, and cut others out of the organised crime marketplace, if you like, as I implied in my tour.
Well, strict sub-editor, I'd say what he said then was that it gave police a degree of uncontestable power to prevent corruption. Peter Phillips.
Peter Phillips, one of the directors of the National Press Club. My question in the first instance is to you, Ferret.
Bill, did you notice what was on the table? Everybody's got a cocktail in front of them.
They're Australian. They always drink.
Do you and your colleagues from the UNCC embrace and endorse principles such as unity in strength and safety in numbers? And if you do, I wonder whether in the embrace of that principle you also look towards other organisations across the total community, sporting organisations, community organisations, service organisations, other groups, other organisations across the total community which might identify with the sorts of principles which you've articulated very, very eloquently today, and your colleagues have articulated very eloquently today, those sorts of principles which might generate further support for you in the recognition which you seek for the legitimate aspirations and the legitimate goals which the UNCC espouses.
Of course, that's why one of the reasons we came here today, so people could hear. And we've invited anyone who would like to come, who represents an organisation, who would like to come and sit at one of our council meetings, is welcome to come, can liaise with us, and we'll have them there. We can hear what they have to say, they can hear what we have to say, and they can pass it on to their people. We're not under any misguidance that we're not the first cab off the rank. We know we are, and we know, but we want to spread the message that after us, everyone else is available to be controlled as well.
It's a good point.
This is our last question today, and I warn you, this is often found to be quite difficult. We could score groups here. The National Capital attracts all sorts of educational tours, and they often come here. Thank you very much for coming. Today's group is from the Mill Park Secondary College, and they've nominated Bo Curran to ask you a question.
Hi, I'm Bo Curran from Mill Park Secondary College, Melbourne. My question is to Professor Wilson. Would the introduction of a Bill of Rights as a preamble to our Constitution help to address such concerns as the right to assembly?
Sorry, will it?
Yeah, help to address concerns, yes, surrounding the right to assembly and other such.
I'm not an expert on the Bill of Rights, but my answer is yes, it would. Yes, it would.
Certain legislation which would help to defend those rights as well, like Ferret said, like the right to trial, right to assembly, and those other such rights that help the civil rights and human rights as such.
Well, the point I'm trying to make, and I think all of us are trying to make, is that these association laws actually violate all those rights. Association laws just say that a particular group is a criminal organisation. There is not a trial. So it violates the whole tradition of British and American law. The Americans have banned laws like this in their constitution. The British used to have laws like this so the kings could get rid of their rivals, but they haven't been used since 1790. These are unique laws, and there are only the only countries that I know of in the industrialized Western world which use them are Canada, Australia, and New Zealand.
Paul, the other thing that gets me on this is I marched about the imprisonment of not only Mandela, but before that, Steve Biko. And the very reasons we wouldn't even play sport with South Africa was because they could apprehend people, hold them in detention without without making proper charge, and they had no access to being able to have due process. That's the very reason we cut South Africa off with their apartheid laws. And to me, they're very, very related to these present set of rules.
Yes. And a lot of people who say sport and politics don't mix.
That's right. Just one, Ken, just if I can make a very quick comment. I've just come back from the Cambodian genocide trials where Duch, who was the commander of S21, the prison where between 12 and 13,000 people were executed, was being cross-examined and giving evidence. He's being prosecuted for genocide now. And he looks very much like a Canberra public servant, like I do. He's dressed like this. There is no doubt that he is responsible for these crimes. He might not be found guilty, but he's admitted that he was responsible and said that he's sorry for them. My point really is that even though he dresses and talks like a Canberra bureaucrat, Gordon is very much like him, actually, in some ways. Do not judge a book by the cover. Just because bikers dress and look differently does not mean that they are necessarily evil. Just because Canberra public servants dress nicely doesn't mean that they're necessarily good.
Let's actually have a final question from Carlos Selmer.
Carlos Selmer, Australian Associated Press again. I'd just like to take up, I guess, you've raised the media and their role in all of this quite a bit today, and in defence of the media, I'd like to say they weren't the guys brawling on at Sydney Airport. And you guys say that it's unreasonable for these laws to be introduced. Is it not reasonable to expect for the rest of society to expect not to be able to witness, not to have to witness what went on at Sydney?
Of course, we're not saying that's not a tragedy, but with these laws, I'll give you an example in South Australia. The Finch Motorcycle Club in South Australia has had a control order placed on it. 9 of our members have control orders placed on them. 2 of those members have no...
No what? It's the communists. They're trying to control everything.
2 of those members have no criminal record. How many people in New South Wales have no criminal record who can also have a control order placed on them under secret police intelligence? That's what it's come to.
I don't want to suck to you at all, but let me say this. I love the media. I'm glad of this kind of media opportunity. When I was in prison in the Philippines, I would have been executed if it wasn't for AAP journalists that snuck around my prison. When the guards were going around there, they came around here. And they got the story, hit the media with it, and embarrassed the Filipino government, so they had to take action against that madman. I would have been shot if it wasn't for the media. So I have a profound regard for the media. But I'm just saying to you, in this regard, where the cards are stacked against us, give us a break, that's all, and look at it properly.
I have a greater association relationship with the media.
We've sent out packages to the media. We have a PR company they can liaise with. They can ask us questions with. Before they put one of their stories in from the police spin doctors, they can liaise with us. We'll tell them if we want to talk to them. We'll tell them if the story is true. Then they can go from there. When it was brought up before about 0.6%, many, many of their stories in the newspaper of alleged motorcycle club members or associates, we don't even know. So that figure is nowhere near where it's represented. If the stories, as you can see now in the media, we're not reading much bikey-related stuff, you can liaise with us now and find out that's not true, why run it? We don't want to, for years we laughed and said, we must have 10,000 members in our club. Look at all this. Now we know that that's working against us. So now we'll liaise with you. You can hear the right story. And if you want to put rubbish in the paper, that's your freedom of expression. But if you want to put the right thing in the paper, we'll talk to you about it.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to thank all of you for and the questioners for the past hour. I'll present each of our panel up here with a membership card, which will allow them to come back as often as they like in the next year, and also something to celebrate with if they score any significant victories. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm hoping everybody within the sound of my voice can appreciate this and say that, hey, man, these people are making a stand.
Yep.
They're not trying to overthrow the government. They're not trying to say, they're saying, work with us. And his point, so very profoundly made, they have some bad boys in their organization. There are some bad boys in a bowling league. There's some bad boys in a police baseball team. There are some bad boys everywhere, but the amount of crime that actually gets done by the bikers is so minuscule. So minuscule, but bikers, we have such high visibility. And that's why we're getting a bad rap. And yet, there's only so few people even listen to this show. Oh, don't worry about it. Other people take care of it. No, there isn't other people. There's just us. There's just us. Screwdriver and I aren't that intelligent. We need other people giving us suggestions, ideas. We don't know what to do. The boys in Australia and New Zealand, they don't know what to do. They're trying. But if people will call shows like this, if people will do something in their town to make it better, it's a stand. All Screwdriver and I can do really is get stopped a lot. And argue and fight for our rights here. But everybody out here has got a point to make. Everybody can help. We showing, Phil? Beep, what do you think, buddy?
Said it perfectly. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, I don't... we'll probably go to our graves before we see anything change.
I agree that.
I mean,
Pete, you know, Screwdriver and I, we're not politicians. We're no Rico Suave.
It is communism. You're right. You know, all of it.
I do.
And
well,
no, just, you know,
we don't have the... Screwdriver and I, we're not welcome at City Hall. We go down there, we fight them, but we don't fit in there. They're happy when we leave. That's about it. But if everybody would do something, we've got numbers. We're just not doing anything with it. And the MROs and all that, I'm not going to jump on them today, but if those guys would just work together instead of against each other, take the attitude and the ego away from being an MRO and say, let's work together, we would have motorcycle rights organizations being more productive. Most of us are pretty frustrated with the MROs. Well, not most of us. I am frustrated with the MROs and all that because I see the egos and the attitude. And that's not what I want out of it. I'm not here to press anybody. I'm just here to tell people I'm trying to do my little bit, but again, I don't have no great education to where I know how to deal with this subject here. But there's people all across this country, a lot more smarter than us.
Yeah.
If they just get involved a little bit. You know, we need more Pete's from Boston. That's what we need.
I'll tell you something. They finally they passed a thing here that if you get stopped, whether you're in a car or on a bike, you can record videotape that you stop. You know, the state police in Massachusetts used to have cameras in their cars, video cameras, and they would record the traffic stops, but they got in so much hot water because they were beating people up, they were wrongfully arresting people, they took the cameras out of the cruisers. Now, as citizens, if we get stopped, we can film the whole thing. And I wish I had filmed my arrest in February 2010 when they arrested me. I'd love to have that on tape, man. You know, I'd probably be a millionaire right now. Sue their friggin' ass. So, I don't know. You know, Australia's tough. I know a lot, you know, from what I've read, bikers in Australia have it tough. They don't want motorcycle clubs there in Australia. They don't want them there. They don't want patches. They don't even want. I don't know. Canada's just as bad.
Yeah, and New Zealand's starting to click on that too.
Not Germany.
Then,
it's always been against it too.
Yeah, and then Germany banned the whole club.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, this guy's got another comment. I'm going to bring him on. This is Ferris.
Hey, you. Layla?
Thanks, Cameron. Well, motorbike groups have been in the headlines for much of the year following some violent incidents. And to put it mildly, the clubs have an image problem, which they want to change. So they've launched a media blitz to get the public on side. Along with a ride yesterday through Sydney, they've also hired a public relations consultant. And the umbrella group, the United Motorcycle Council, has launched a new website. And with us in the studio is spokesman for the United Motorcycle Council in New South Wales, Ferret. Good morning, Ferret. Thank you for coming in. So you're in club colours as Sergeant of Arms for the Finks Motorcycle Club. Do your members care what people think of it?
Oh, of course they do, like anyone.
So What kind of things are you going to do? What do you hope to achieve?
Well, I brought the council together so we can resolve disputes at a table instead of on the street between clubs.
So all of the PR in the world isn't going to help if there continues to be violence in public in the community, such as we saw at the airport or drive-by shootings. Is everybody behind this? Are all the biker groups behind this? And are they going to crack down on violence?
Oh, of course. That's why I said we'll sit at the table to resolve disputes now. It's much easier if everyone is in the same room to talk about something than letting things carry on.
So would you say that the groups have sorted out their differences? Because there were some pretty big differences and led to some pretty violent attacks.
The groups are sorting out their differences at the moment. The United Motorcycle Council is only new founded, so we're just finding our footing as we go.
One of the major concerns I'd imagine for you is a lot of the states are creating new laws to crack down on even being a member of a biker group. Is that one of the reasons why you're making this push now?
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. We see that we're a minority, and it says that the serious organised crime law is for the bikers. That's what people are made to believe. It's not. It involves everyone in New South Wales. We're just a minority, and if they can make a move on us and close us down, the ball will just steamroll from there.
Yeah, I know that some members of the legal fraternity are on your side with this, saying that the laws are pretty harsh.
Yeah, well, they can read law, obviously, better than the layman can, and they can read straight through it.
Yeah. Let me put to you what the New South Wales Police Commissioner says is the reason for these laws that they want to bring down. He said that biker groups are acting like wild animals, that in 6 months, 185 gang members were charged with 572 offences. Do you think that the biker groups have to lay some of the blame at their own feet?
Some of them charges are associates of motorcycle clubs, and a lot of the associates of motorcycle clubs that the media is led by the police to believe are in clubs, we don't even know.
Yes.
So they're just saying person after person is associated with a motorcycle club, which makes good media, people will read it, and we don't even know who they are.
Yeah, but there are some members of motorcycle
clubs. Oh, of course, we're not saying we're saints,
mm-hmm.
but we're not saying that every single person in the media is involved with us.
Have you noticed a change? A lot of members of the community are afraid, and you know, when they see all of the motorcycle club gear, do you think people are more afraid? You know, whether it's a result of the media portrayals, the reporting, or whether the most recent incidents have really, I guess, charged up the perception of bikers in the community.
Oh, of course they'd be scared, because in the media the bikers get a lot of play. People, if they see something bikey written in the media in the paper, they will read it. They will have a look at it. If something happens to footballers, people have an eye for footballers. But everyone thinks they know a bikie or know someone who knows a bikie, so they see they know someone there.
Would you dispute allegations that biker groups operate businesses that, you know, deal in drugs and other illegal
activities? Oh, of course I dispute that. No club is organised to commit violence as a group, to sell drugs as a group. If people do that as individuals, they do it off their own back.
So how confident are you that we've seen the last of incidents like the one in which someone was killed at Sydney Airport?
You can never see into the future, but as we sit at the table and try to resolve disputes, we hope that it brings everyone closer and that we can contain these things before they happen.
Okay, Fred, thanks for coming in.
Thanks a lot.
Cameron.
Thank you very much, Layla. Still ahead,
Well, Bill.
Once again, they're asking him to give them a simple solution to a very complicated question here. Bottom line is, some guys don't get along.
No.
I've had guys in the bar just beef with me because they didn't like the way I looked. It's just the way life is.
Yeah, what pisses me off, man. That lady kept saying group, gang, club. She's, you know, what is it, lady? The lady that was interviewing him. Are they a group, a gang, or a club? You know, she's like a group, gang, and a club. And the thing is, the people listening to this, the show right now, they have to understand people that aren't educated in this type of thing. You know, the cops always think and the government thinks that motorcycle clubs are out there selling drugs, killing people. Let me tell you something. That's not how it is. It's a brotherhood. You get a few bad apples in everything. Every club, any type of group, the police department has drug addicts, drug dealers, you know, killers. So you get a few bad apples here and there. But for the most part, it's not what they, you know, people watch TV and they're like, oh, my God. Because people ask me all the time, well, you know, you're hanging out with that, you know, you're hanging out with that crew there. Well, you know, they're known to do this and that. This is bullshit. You know, you're watching way too much TV. You know, that's you're listening to what other people are telling you. Oh yeah, they deal drugs and they kill people. You know, there's probably more police officers that do that, crooked police officers that kill people and deal drugs and do drugs. You know, I mean, so you know, they need to get their heads. Bikers are easy targets. You know, that's why the cops go after us. We're easy targets, man. You know.
Look at the newspaper today. There's robberies. There's killings. There's there's everything going on by human beings. And in today's newspaper, there's probably no bikers in there. Maybe once in a while there is a biker.
Oh, there is.
But there's
right,
all kind of minorities. There's all kind of people around the world. And every day, every newspaper committing crimes. It's the way of the world. And yet, because these guys got long hair and these guys got Harley Davidsons, they're more visual. They stand out. But again, I challenge anybody out here. Pick up the newspaper. Somebody please call me and tell me today's newspaper where bikers did something wrong.
Well, you know, Bill, there's 35,125 people listening to us tonight. So maybe out of those 35,125 people, we might get 10,000 that say, you know, what the fuck's going on?
Well, people want to listen to us and don't want to make a comment. I can understand.
Yeah.
You're uncomfortable, but be more like Pete. Be more like the Boston cousin I have out there. Always trying to tell you what life is. He's not afraid to stand out there. You need to make your own stand in your own town. We talk about sometimes I get frustrated because there are people listening to Pete and saying, well, I like the way this guy's talking. Well, do what he's telling you to do, for Christ's sakes.
You know, I have a lot of friends that ride. I have friends that are in 1% clubs. I have friends that are in Christian clubs. You name it. Military
clubs.
It's
because we're easy targets. Like Art wrote something in there. I'm gonna read what he wrote. Easy targets, but the Leos want to be us on their off time.
Oh yeah.
Which is true.
Wrote that. Who wrote that? Oh, in the chat room. Yeah, you know, you're right. You're right. There's more cops. A couple towns over me, there's a couple cops that they ride. They get tattoos and they get the muscles and everything. And the days off, they go out and they act like they're 1%ers. It makes me laugh, you know. Yeah, you're a cop or a biker, you know. You're not a badass. You're a cop. Screw. Beat it. You don't fit in with us. You know, why'd you become a cop if you want to roll with this type of, you know, crew, this type of lifestyle? It's a joke. And what's the bigger joke are the law enforcement motorcycle clubs. You know, that's the biggest joke I've ever seen. A couple clubs I was looking at online, you know, three-piece patch, the skull and all that, MC, the state on the bottom. Man, what a joke. Seriously, you know. Tattoos, long hair, it's like, you know, ex-feds, cops, current feds, cops, you know, I don't know.
Pete, I have a lot of problem. I was coming across the border into America, and there's this large Mexican club down the border in America, and there's about 200. They said, Bill, come over here. Why don't you meet all the new people we got? And I said, I don't want to meet you new people. Every new people hang around 6-10 years, then introduce me to them. I don't want to meet newbies. Now, I understand everybody's got to go through it, but people come and they go. If you can't make 5-10 years in the motorcycle world, I don't want to be. I don't want to get to know you. I don't want to get a load of somebody then say, oh, well, I've decided I'm not going to do this. Well, then, you know, again, you don't have to be a club person. But if you just sell your motorcycle, oh, I got a drug problem, I got an alcohol problem, I got to get rid of my motorcycle. You drive your truck or your car down to get your alcohol. You drive your car or your truck down to get your drugs. Stop blaming your motorcycle. There are very few people that are going to last decade after decade. I don't think I'm something special. I've made a commitment to my lifestyle. I made a commitment to what I want to do. So when we talk to you and I are going to go up this end this month to a big club party, big boys, I don't want to meet the new guys. I'm not even going to bother. I'll stick with the old guys that we know that have been time. Time and grade, that just makes me feel more comfortable. I don't want to be around young guys anymore. That's
no,
how I feel about it.
In fact, I was
the way
down,
I feel.
In fact, I was down the other way over the weekend, and then you had some guys come in the shop the other day looking for bikes. A lot of things going on right now.
Yeah.
Hey,
but,
not just on the subject. Did you see who got arrested on November 2nd? Nicky Scafo. Junior.
No.
Who?
Nick Scafo. Does that name ring a bell, Bill?
Yeah. Coach, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
the father's still in jail. So I get the son now. It's in the news.
Yeah.
Looking at the article right now.
You remember when the mafia first started rolling over? We just, those of us on the East Coast, we're total shock. When they started saying, yeah, yeah, giving names and all that. You took a blood oath. For God's sakes, put a gun to your head if you're going to just kill yourself. But they started rolling over. And let me take this one step forward. Then the motorcycle world started rolling over. People I knew that I didn't think they'd roll over. I swear to God, I didn't think. And so I'm not happy with the whole program, Pete. It was one thing my growing up. In today's world, I know it changes, but it's different. I'm not that happy in it.
No. I mean, I never roll on anybody, Bill.
Well, I'm not saying you would, but I just want to point out that a very good friend of yours and mine said to me, the big, big boy up there,
uh-huh.
He said, until you're handcuffed to the chair in the police station, you have no idea what you're going to do. Now, in this case, our good friend, as you know, he refused to roll and all. He did the full 5 years, and the people that rolled over, they all got in and out in about a year. He made a choice, but he said to me, and I've always thought that was very, very poignant, until you're handcuffed to the chair in the police station, that's when you decide what type of man you are.
Yep.
And if you do roll over, where the hell are you going to go? The rest of your life is gone, you know?
We got a caller on, somebody calling us from Skype, Bill. You're live.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, I'm in?
Yeah, you're in.
Sure. Yes, you are.
Is that you, Art?
That's me.
How you doing?
I'm doing good, doing good.
You got a comment?
No, a lot of these clubs, you know, at the COCs we go in, and we see them, and they come and they go, and they just disappear. And you know, they all want, like you say, they all want to be a three-piece patch holder. And 6 months later, they're gone.
Hey, Art, I'm going to be doing a run this weekend, Toys for Todd program, up to Oceanside Harbor, up to Casino Palma. Is that something you're going to stop by, or you got other plans?
Is that Saturday?
Yes, affirmative.
I know the Patriot Guard, we're going to do a ride in Ramona for a World War II vet or a Korean War vet. They brought back the body.
Right.
And then we're supposed to be doing that Wings and Things over at Biggs.
Right.
So
what I'm going to do is I'm going to do the Toys for Todd program in the morning.
And I'll be at the other one in the morning.
And then they're going to do a run at the Wings and Warriors in the morning. When they come back from their circle, I'll be leaving the Toys for Todd, and I'll catch up with the Wings and Warriors, and I'll catch up with you, Screwdriver,
right.
Also. So in the morning, I'll be at Toys for Todd, but I'm not going to do the Wings and Warriors until the afternoon.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, when I was growing up, I got to tell you, if I did a run every 3 months,
yeah.
It was pretty impressive. I feel like I'm a social butterfly now. There's so much shit going on that you and I were last weekend at Riverside again. It seems like I'm doing an awful lot. I don't know. I kind of liked it when I couldn't go down the road without knowing everybody had a motorcycle. Times are changing.
Yeah, they have. Uh-oh.
What happened?
Nothing.
You still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Am I still on?
Yes. Oh,
yeah. Oh, yes. What did you think about this stuff in Australia, Art?
You know, those guys have been fighting this, and I give them credit because they stuck together and they got a bunch of it overturned. And now they're trying to rewrite it and resubmit it to see if they can get it passed so they can put a chokehold back on those guys.
Yeah.
There's
it's kind of like we're getting a chokehold here in California right now, though.
You know what I can
say?
Art, let me say, interject something in here. And Pete, you may not know these names here, but Screwdriver, Quigney, Bianco, Baron,
Remember those names?
Yes.
Oh, I know
Bianco. Who are the names we have today? Art, is there any big name you can think right now compared to most people?
Not really. Not as fighters.
And people aren't trying, aren't working. But, boy, we had some giants walking the earth, didn't we, in those days?
Yeah, we did. We did.
And, again, I do not imply that the other organizations don't have good people. Somehow, just that, where are the new leaders coming from? Why aren't more people stepping up? Did we become complacent?
Yeah.
That we wouldn't let the other guy do the job? That was my problem with Red Baron and Quigney, Bianco. I was content to let them do all the work because they seemed to be doing a good job. But they got old. They got burnt out. They passed away. And I was waiting for another force, a resistance, to come in. And I just don't see it.
That would be from the progressives, Bill.
Yeah, that's my people's. You know, we're still great people. Again, John Del Santo, and there's a lot of good people that I can't think of names right now. Great people. But I just, man, I don't know where our leadership went to.
You know, Bill, I just got a email message. We have a new follower. Would you like to give a shout out to
Jaime?
No, Jamie.
Jamie? Oh, Jamie Bridgewater. How do you know it's Jamie? It could be Jaime for all you know.
No, it's Jamie.
Jamie Bridgewater. We want to say hello to you.
She's from Arizona.
Oh, it's a lady, too. How do you know it's a she?
I think she's from Arizona.
Oh, okay, then. Well, Arizona, we appreciate you logging in. I'm sorry I didn't know if you were a man or a woman. The name is a bit ambidextrous there, so I didn't know. But please send us a picture or something. Say hello to us. Get on the phone and talk to us what's happening in there. So let me get back to our leadership. You know, Art, sometimes I'm in a large event, and I'm looking around the crowd. And I'm looking people, and I'm wondering, is in this crowd, is this going to be the next voice of the motorcycle community? Is there any one person who's going to step up and say, hey, we can do this? And, Art, I don't see it. I can't hear it. Maybe it's because I'm doing too much talking. I don't know. But I'm hoping that one rally, somebody's going to get up and say something that I'm going to say, I can get behind that man or that woman. Well, hell, let's talk about the Republican Party. I can't find anybody there. I'm listening to everything they're saying. I can't get behind them. And I'm hardcore Republican. I listen to what they're saying, but I can't get behind anybody.
You know what we need?
A voice. A voice in the wilderness is what we need.
Yeah, but we need somebody like, you know, that's got a personality like Howie. Everybody knows him. He goes everywhere. He's well-liked. He's respected. You know, somebody on that order that wants to step up and fight.
You know,
this weekend, Howie's having, they're having their breakfast, I think, this weekend at Sweetwater, Bill.
You said something that's quite interesting because Howie does transcend all motorcycle clubs. He just is accepted everywhere across the world. He's constantly driving back and forth and all that. That's an interesting concept, and maybe somebody should talk to Howie because somebody's got to step up. And I've listened to what Howie says.
Yeah. Last month I had an interesting conversation with Howie.
You had an interesting conversation.
Absolutely.
Well, you write that down.
I have interesting conversations every day, Bill.
That's with yourself. Right. So tell me about how he's doing Saturday. He's got a party?
His club has a breakfast every first Saturday of the month at Sweetwater.
No.
Final Option has their monthly breakfast there.
So they don't have a lunch.
Yeah.
I can't get up Saturday morning.
I know you can't get up there early. I'm surprised you're getting up to go out for Toys R Tots.
I don't want to do this. I really don't want to do this. I might go to the Indy Casino and find myself a place to take a nap or something. I'm not sure. Pete, you still with us?
Yeah.
Pete,
Can't you remember back in the 70s when I said when giants walked around us?
Yeah.
Guys in the bike club, there was great names. I won't use all their names and all that, but great names. Supermen.
Oh, yeah, I was. I remember, yeah.
They're all gone.
I'm from Salem, so Mass. I was born and raised there, so I know a lot of giants. Some of them are
what happened.
But
you know, I don't know. I always thought I should do something, but I don't know if maybe this is all I'm going to be doing is just talking to people.
I
always want to get behind somebody. I always want to find a personality, a voice, somebody that can get on the mic and speak the truth.
Unfortunately, Bill, you can say it till you're red in the face. Most people aren't going to listen to you.
I know.
Tell them, hey, listen, look, this is the way it is. You know, we're just riding our bikes. It's nothing like what you think. And they're like, yeah, sure. You know, no, I know what you guys are all about. You know, and unfortunately, that's a stereotype.
That's when you tell them when they ask you, where are you going? Point A. Where are you coming from? Point B.
Yeah.
You're not going to answer any questions. No.
Mm-hmm. You know, Pete, the only thing I've learned, and I do a lot of public speaking, the only thing I've learned is to, and Screwdriver will attest to this, I bring beautiful women on stage with me, scantily clothed. Because my friends, my male friends in the biker community, they don't have any attention at all. But if I get scantily clad women like we did 3 weeks ago or whatever on stage,
yeah,
Pete, my friends will pay attention to me until the sun goes down. Because keep talking, Bill. Keep the girls on stage. But it must be the fact I don't have the strong enough message. It must be that I can't reach out for people.
Must be that white hair I told you to dye.
No, that Moses works well for me. I tell little girls, you can trust me, little girl.
Yeah, they think you're harmless.
I would like to see that a person all across America, there can't be one biker person step up and say, hey, I want to help the community. I don't want to put money in my pocket. I'm not trying to put money in my club's pocket. I want to help the motorcycle community. I've been waiting for a long time. And I don't know of anybody yet in California I've come across. Maybe there's somebody out there listening today and say, well, maybe I should step up and try something. I don't know. Maybe we should get Pete out here from Boston, get him out of his frozen thing, and get him out in California, cause some trouble, maybe. You know?
Yeah.
Well, you know, hey, I speak the truth. I've been through it. I go through it on a daily basis. The cops don't leave me alone, you know, and I don't give a shit anymore. I talk to people all the time about this type of thing, because they take one look at me with the long hair, the tattoos, oh my God, you know. As soon as they start talking to me, it's a completely different person. Oh, I thought you were, I thought you were one of those crazy biker guys, you know. This is who I am, you know. But I'm also a human being, and, you know, let's talk about that. And they're like, well, you know, I hear this and I hear things. This is, you know, it's bullshit. It's bullshit. You know, and I just proved a point right there to the person. You just, you know, you're speaking to me. You know, your first impression, you looked at me and you're like, oh my God, get away from this guy, you know. Wow, my girlfriend even, you know. Although, I know she's listening right now. Although, when she first saw my picture on Facebook, she's like, wow. Stay away from this guy. When she met me in person and she saw that I was educated, that I had things to say that made sense about the shit that's going on in the world, she just completely thought differently of long-haired guys that ride motorcycles. And now, you know, I don't think she'll ever look at anybody like that ever again. She's met a lot of my friends. And some of my friends are in clubs, and she treats them just like a normal person. Unfortunately, you know, most people because
that
of,
way
uh,
everywhere. I get told by some people at work that some people don't accept my lifestyle, and to that I tell them get fucked.
Well, when I got arrested last year, the state police, use every insult they could against me, the way I look, my lifestyle, the people I hung out with, my tattoos, you name it. They insulted me with it. And I just sat there, shackled to the bench, and I didn't say one thing. I just smiled, you know. they were probably expecting me to, like, break the shackles and jump over the desk at them, but boom, I just sat there, you know. But, yeah, they used probably 10 insults, you know.
Fight with the weapons we have, and you got to realize control is everything. Speaking to somebody that had control issues, screwdriver still has control issues. Control is everything, and we have to win.
Well, you know, on that one, Bill, you know what I say to that, don't you?
What do you say to that? What is it you want to say to that on that issue?
Well, some people I tell, Bill, I'll take a class on how to manage my anger when they take a class on how to shut the fuck up.
Well. Do we got another caller up there?
Yes, we do, Bill.
I can't see that. Pete, hang on for a second. We got somebody calling in.
She's actually unmuted from 480.
480, you're on the air live. Hello?
Hi, that's me.
Yeah, well, that's us, too.
Thank
Welcome
God,
to Phil and Bill.
I got through.
I'm Bill, and this is Phil next to us. We got Pete from Boston on the air, and
Art from Poly.
Art from California's on the air. What'd you call up for today?
Because I heard my name. I was listening, and I heard my name as I walked by my computer. I was like, "Hey, wait, that's me."
Well, where are you calling from, please?
Arizona.
Arizona, okay. Oh, yeah. A few seconds ago, I called you. I didn't know if it was. I incorrectly said your name. That was my fault there.
She called
me.
Okay.
Well, you know, I got no memory.
No, that's why.
I'm a very, very old man. I need a lot of help. You know?
Oh,
a lot of tenderness.
Man, here we go.
You know?
Shit's getting deep now.
It's getting good now.
Phil, don't really need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. Because you're now talking to the Dr. Love show. The doctor wants to hear from you, little girl. The doctor wants to know. Mind.
Watch out, he bites.
He wants to know what?
He told you you called into the Dr. Love show.
This is the Dr. Love show here. Little girl, I want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear what's on your mind. The doctor cares about you. The doctor wants you to on your mind tonight. The doctor gives you the mic. Talk to us, little girl.
Little girl? I'm not that little. At all. So, what do you want to know? I'm full of information.
Well,
you got the mic. Go for
you
it.
You have the mic. Tell us what you want to talk about tonight.
Oh, okay.
I wait for Philip and that mean person in Boston. That's Pete. But there's a nice Bill here right now. Go ahead, please.
Well, I was trying to listen to the show between doing my son, helping my son with his homework and stuff, and then I went to a couple of the links that were posted so I could kind of understand a little bit more. Still didn't really catch all of it, but I'm still kind of learning all these rules and regulations and helmets and no helmets, and it's kind of crazy.
It is crazy. You gotta try it from the saddle.
Well, yeah.
If we ride together, we don't make it a half a mile. If I ride by myself, I don't make it 2-3 blocks.
Phil, I got pulled over on foot. I wasn't even on a bike. State police pulled me on foot walking my dogs. It's a true story.
Yeah.
In front of my house.
I remember you talking about that.
You know, come on. It's my appearance, you know.
Yeah. No, I was just in Cave Creek, and it was pretty wild over there. Got pulled over twice. Yeah, I got pulled over twice on the way there.
Yeah, Gilbert's worse.
As soon as they seen the California plate and me and my bike, they were all over.
They just honed in on you.
Absolutely.
I don't really ride that much at all.
And why not?
I don't know. Led a sheltered life. Just got introduced to the biking community probably like a year ago.
No, there's a lot of female clubs out there that you could get involved with, motorcycle clubs. Good ones, too. Good group of girls.
Hmm.
Especially on the West Coast.
Huh. I know I have a lot of them as friends on Facebook. But most of them are in California, so.
Well, you got to come out to the coast then.
Right. Nah, I like the heat. Can ride all year round here.
Well, we can ride all year round out here, too.
What part of Arizona are you from, dear?
Gilbert.
Gilbert, okay.
Yeah.
I just came back from a little run. I went over to Kingman. You know where Kingman is in Arizona?
Yeah, I sure do.
Okay. Pete will love this story here. 40 years ago, I did my first Sturgis run, and for whatever reason, I didn't go the most straight route. I went all the way around, and I stopped in Kingman, and they have a small park with a railroad engine and two railroad cars sitting
mm-hmm.
outside in the park.
Mm-hmm.
40 years ago, I sat underneath the tree, and I looked at this railroad engine and these railroad cars. I've been through Kingman many times. I've never stopped. This last trip I just came back from, I got to Kingman, and I remember the railroad train. I found Route 66. I drove down. And
you didn't take any pictures on the pavement.
I didn't, but, you know, Pete, I sat down underneath the same tree I did 40 years ago. I looked at the same railroad car, and Kingman hasn't changed one bit, but I was a little reflection there. 40 years of my life have gone by, and I'm still underneath the same tree.
Oh, you should have carved your name in the tree.
I should have put my name on the tree. Nobody said that would have been a way to do that.
Yeah.
Like Daniel Boone, killed a ball.
40 years ago,
like,
I'm trying to figure out how old you are here.
63.
It's 40 years ago when you were under that tree, you should have carved your name into it. That's what I'm saying.
Or took a picture.
Take a picture.
But I have to tell you what's negative about Arizona is I got there in Kingman, and I don't know, is from my where I live to Kingman, it's about 400 miles. So we rolled in there one day, and 90 degrees weather. I had a long sleeve T-shirt on. Everything was just nice. I wake up in the morning, and some heat wave from Phoenix comes up. I wake up to 103, and by the time I got my bike loaded, it's 105 degrees. I can't. Just beat my ass. Too much.
Oh, yeah, it is. It gets hot, especially at night when it doesn't cool down and it's still 100 degrees.
Yeah, I ran up to the Hoover Dam. I went to see the big dam and all that. It was so hot, I didn't give a damn about the dam. I said, yeah, it's cement, we got water, I'm done. I jumped on the bike and I rolled on into Las Vegas. I missed the exit to the hotel I was staying at. And Pete, you'll appreciate this. I'd go around the block. I came into the hotel and I went to the valet. I got off my bike. I sat in the curb, my feet in the gutter. I told my wife, if anybody comes near me, just tell them, don't talk to my husband. He is hot. He is tired. He is irritable. I sat there for 10 minutes until I was able to get up and out. The Arizona heat, it sucks the life out of me. It's beautiful at night. And there are times where once it gets over 100 degrees, you guys got different blood than me. That's all I can think of, you know?
I wouldn't be able to breathe in that shit, not being from over here.
It's not humid, though. It's a dry heat, which is really nice.
Yeah, but coming from the East Coast, I'm from Massachusetts, and I couldn't even breathe if I went to Arizona. I'd be, like, choking.
You die.
I mean, your blood changes when you know...
You know that they have no helmet law in Arizona? They have
nuclear
eye protection, 24 hours, sunglasses, no helmets at all. Now, also, in the part of Arizona I was in, there was no red light cameras. In California, you know, every red light we got cameras in case you run the light.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Arizona. My helmet was tied to the bike, and I kept coming to stop signs and traffic lights. Not one camera.
Yeah.
I celebrated, but you can ask my wife. I ran 8 red lights. It's not a big thing. I was so paranoid in California for the camera lights.
Did you ever get a ticket on a one?
No, I ran. Somehow God was on my shoulder. I missed that one up in Orange County. But I left Arizona, and by the time I got to Nevada, whole different world. They were actually having stops for bikers coming down and checking their helmets as a big ticket in Nevada for not having a DOT helmet. But Arizona, I got to tell you, I'm so envious and jealous.
Not that I want everybody to run red lights and stop signs like I did, but I was so free. So
yeah,
just,
you are.
And the nights were beautiful. Days
yeah.
broke my balls, but
we used to have red lights, red light cameras, just for a short period. I don't even know how long we had them for, but anytime you're out in a red light, or at least me, you just look up at the camera, stick out your tongue, and flip the bird. And then you get your picture taken, and they send it to you, frame it. I have a couple.
You know, I stopped to visit a friend of mine in Golden Valley, and I pulled up to his trailer, and he had these thongs like you pick up trash with on the side, and I go,
you were wearing a thong?
No, the dongy things that you pick up, you know? And I said to my friend, I said,
well, I know you had a trailer. I know you had a trailer, Brian. Now you got a
dog. So I said, well, what do you use these for? You pick up cans? He goes, oh, no, Bill. It's for the rattlesnakes. I went,
oh no.
I'm a city guy. This is not me. He wanted me to stay a couple extra days because they have the annual migration of the tarantulas that come through the Golden Valley. And
oh, that's
I'm thinking,
scary.
I'm thinking I should go back to California because...
Hey, Beth. Jackie's in the
yes,
chat room saying something about a thong. Jackie Blue.
Who this is.
Hi, Jackie.
That's Jackie. She's calling from the... Or she's in the chat room from New York, Bill.
Well,
we
got
there.
What?
Oh.
How
no,
you red?
What do you call those snake things you pick up the snakes? Come on,
thongs.
You know.
Thongs.
Yeah, thongs, you know.
But
how the hell is she writing in red? You can write in different colors in the chat room?
Yeah.
Oh.
You just got to get, yeah.
So I went to a hotel and...
with a thong?
No, not this time now. I checked in a hotel with my wife. Brand new hotel. Just opened up. I'm in Arizona still now, guys. And the guy offered me a, he just turned dark, and I figured that's enough.
Yeah,
I'm tired.
Thong?
Offered me a black light.
Oh, a black light, okay.
Can anybody out there figure why I'd have a black light?
Yeah, so you can see the snakes. Because it's a
scorpion, the tarantula, no, scorpions.
Scorpions.
They said, here, check into your room, take the black light, go out, walk around, see all the scorpions. They light up at night. And once again, I told my wife, I got to get out of Arizona because I am a city boy. You guys have scorpions where you're out there? Anybody? Nobody
has.
Well, you can't live with them. What do? You stomp them? Or do you ignore them? Live with them or how?
They got a spray
hairspray
on
them,
and
huh?
You kill them.
There's no comparison to the. I got bit by a black widow twice.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no comparison. Scorpions are nothing.
No.
I getting bit in the face by a northern black widow. Want to talk about painful.
Yeah, I'm a California. We don't have nothing.
In Massachusetts, Bill. Can you believe that? We have black widows.
No, that's... Oh, yeah. We had somebody here in San Diego get bit by a wolf spider, and they laid their eggs in their skin.
Oh, Jesus.
They had to rush them to the hospital because they felt a little bite in the middle of the night, and they woke up to some irritation. Then they actually felt a couple days later in San Diego a little crawling in their skin. The wolf spider laid the eggs in the person's body at a restroom of the hospital and cut them open, take all the eggs out.
That's nasty.
That's gross.
Let's change the subject.
Tell me something. Go ahead.
I just got a message from, as a matter of fact, Red Baron. And he says that the Israelis are developing an airport security device that eliminates the privacy concerns that come with the full body scanners. It's an armored booth you step into that will not x-ray you, but will detonate any explosive device you may have on your person. This is a win-win situation for everyone. With none of this crap about racial profiling, it will also eliminate the cost of long and expensive trials. You're in the airport terminal and hear a muffled explosion, and shortly thereafter an announcement. Attention to all standby passengers. We're happy to announce the seat is available on Flight 670 to London.
All right. Is he safe? Is he back in America? Is
he's
he overseas?
Back.
Oh, okay.
So he's
then.
Back.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
A couple weeks ago.
I have something.
I was
to say.
In London a while back, and I was taking the boat across to France, and I was walking by the where all the luggage was, and this one dog was going crazy with the handlers, and I heard them make the announcement, "Would passenger so and so please report to luggage?" And I was thinking to myself, passenger so-and-so, don't report the luggage. Your shit is in bad trouble. Oh, my God. I don't know where we're going tonight and all this crazy stuff here.
You got something to say.
Yeah.
I'm losing my voice because I have a really bad cold, so I'm going to log off. But I want to say something because I know she's listening. That I apologize to my girlfriend for being an asshole the past week. So I hope she heard that. I love her. I love you. I'll call you in a few minutes. Bill, Phil, thanks for having me on.
All right, man.
Girlfriend's name, Pete.
Her name is Christine. She's a wonderful girl. It's been tough here with no electricity, my father dying. I've been a total jerk. I'm sorry to anybody that I hurt. And boo-hoo-hoo for me. But I'll be calling in Tuesday.
All right.
Okay.
So,
Christine, if you're listening.
I had no goddamn heat before. I got a really bad, Gino has a cold. I don't know why Gino has a cold, because he didn't lose his electricity, but my brother has a cold. I have a cold, and my throat is killing me, man. So I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right.
Okay, man.
And you know, Pete, if you want your girlfriend to call and talk to me, I'd be glad to do that for
I
you.
I tried to get her to call in so I could do it, but I know she's listening. So, sorry. All right.
Pete's a good guy. He's got a lot of good things going for him. We also carry a lot of the past, and maybe you can help him get through all that. You know he's trying. We're all trying. You don't have to understand everything, but you also don't have to put up any bullshit, though.
No, as a matter of fact, Bill,
what?
You know, just since you brought that up, you know, George Carlin said it best when he came up with this thing. It's called Rights and Privileges. You like to hear it?
I'm talking about, Well, go ahead, please. Yeah, can we? Yeah, Collins, hang on for a second. Scooter's got something he wants to interject here, please.
Here's another one of these civic customs. Swearing on the Bible. You understand that shit? They tell you to raise your right hand, place your left hand on the Bible. Does this stuff really matter? Which hand? Does God really give a fuck about details like this? Suppose you put your right hand in the Bible and you raise your left hand. Would that count? Or would God say, sorry, wrong hand, try again? And why does one hand have to be raised? What is the magic in this gesture? This seems like some sort of a primitive voodoo mojo stick. Why not put your left hand in the Bible and let your right hand hang down by your side? It's more natural. Or put it in your pocket. Remember what your mother used to say? Don't put your hands in your pocket. Does she know something we don't know? Is this hand shit really important? Well, let's get back to the Bible, America's favorite national theatrical prop. Suppose the Bible they hand you to swear on is upside down, or backward, or both, and you swear to tell the truth on an upside down backward Bible. Would that count? Suppose the Bible they hand you is an old Bible and half the pages are missing. Suppose all they have is a Chinese Bible in an American court, or a Braille Bible and you're not blind. Suppose they hand you an upside down backward Chinese Braille Bible with half the pages missing. At what point does all of this stuff just break down and become just a lot of stupid shit that somebody made up? They fucking made it up, folks. It's make-believe. It's make-believe. Now, all right. Okay. Let's leave the Bible aside. We'll get back to the science fiction reading later. The more important question is, what is the big deal about swearing to God in the first place? Why does swearing to God mean you're going to tell the truth? Wouldn't affect me. If they said to me, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God, I'd say, yeah. I'll tell you about as much truth as the people who wrote that fucking Bible. How do you like that? Swearing on the Bible doesn't mean anything. It's kids. Swearing to God is kid stuff. Did you know? Remember when you were a kid, if you told another kid something he didn't quite believe, he'd say, you swear to God? I would always say, yeah, I swear to God, even if I was lying. Why not? What's going to happen if I lie? Nothing. Nothing happens if you lie, unless you get caught, and that's a whole different story. Sometimes a kid would think he was being slick with me, and he'd say, "You swear on your mother's grave?" I'd say, "Yeah. Why not? First of all, my mother was alive. She didn't even have a grave. Second of all, even if she was dead, what's she going to do? Rise from the grave and come and haunt me? Come and haunt me? All because I told a lie to an 8-year-old? Get fucking real, will you?" Sometimes I would say, "I swear on my mother's tits." Kids are impressed with things like that. I mean, I don't care about my mother's tits either. I don't care if they fell off. Fuck her. Not my problem. They're your tits, Ma. You keep an eye on them. Swearing to God doesn't mean anything. Swearing on the Bible doesn't mean anything. You know why? Because Bible or no Bible, God or no God, if it suits their purposes, people are going to lie in court. The police do it all the time. All the time.
He's right, Bill.
Yes, he is. You know, let me stop right there for a second. I want to point something out. First of all, I never want to correct George Carlin. Obviously, he's a genius. But I do want to explain to everybody about the Bible. We are based, English, American law is based pretty much on the English law. And I want to point out to you, when you were a criminal, they would brand your right hand. You take the tip of your thumb, you go all the way down. Now, you get the meaty part of your thumb. They branded you right there. And when you went to court, they would have you raise your right hand if you were branded and you were being convicted a second time or being accused a second time, your sentence would be extremely harsh. So raising your hand initially was saying, "I don't have a brand in there, give me a break," or, "Uh-oh, I got a brand already, pretty much screw me." So it has transferred over to America. But, of course, that takes nothing away from George Carlin's genius. Just a little trivia there, boys and girls. All right, buddy. You go to sleep again when I'm... Why do you always go to sleep when I'm
talking? I was actually...
Oh, you were snoring again.
No.
I start to talk, you go to sleep.
No, actually... Actually, I was reading these comments that Jamie's writing.
They're good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just the way your boobs and your butt look while you're thinking. I don't know.
I don't get to see this. I'm with the wrong angle over here. I'm way off to the side. I don't get nothing. You won't let me near the machine because you say I'll break it. Unfortunately, people ask me, why is the builders all the talking? There's nothing wrong with screwdriver talking, but he has to run the machinery. And if he can't run the machinery, I will break everything there is.
There you go, Bill. You're not at the right angle. Now you're at the right angle.
You know, that was worth me bending over. I don't even scream that good anymore. But anyway, I'm sure that's a very nice person you show me a picture of, and I'm sure somewhere in the world somebody's saying, "Well, I wish I had me a girl with small little boobs," and, you know, said he's got this giant boob girl there. But as far as America, we want whatever we don't have. I'm thinking about those Mormon fellows.
Oh, no.
Hey, wait, I was Mormon.
You were Mormon?
I grew up Mormon.
I stopped at Salt Lake City, and a long-haired biker, Harley Davidson, they actually were very nice to let me go a tour through the temple. They showed me everything there was. Very nice people. A lot of things I couldn't understand, but when it was all over, they took me into this area where meditation room, excuse me, beautiful flowers and clouds painted on the sky and beautiful music. And about 10 minutes, they said, "Does anybody wish to say anything?" And I said, they asked me, "Please, we know you want to say something." I said, "I don't want to be disrespectful. I just want to ask you one question. Since I've been here, you've told me how much you adhere to Jesus Christ's lifestyle, how much you adhere to Jesus Christ's teachings. I want to know why only I look like Jesus Christ. Why don't you people have long hair and beards?" They told me they're going to get me a bishop. And I waited 20 minutes. Tour was over. Nobody came to visit me. So, but very nice people, very respectful people.
Yeah, some of them.
Well, you know, Bill, it's like Mr. Carlin has something else on freedom of choice. Would you like to hear that?
Wait, I want to ask our guest one more time.
Sure.
You weren't like five or six more sisters, were you, married to one guy? That's really my dream.
Oh, no.
Oh.
No,
That was my great, great, great grandpa had four wives.
Oh, that could be. I need a doctor. Yeah. I need a plumber. I need a carpenter. I need a mechanic. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I guess. I don't know. It's weird.
Well, it's probably not for everybody, but if given the opportunity, I think I could.
You would jump on it, wouldn't you?
Because there's lonely women out there that need Dr.
Oh,
Love.
Right.
And that's
right.
Why I'm
of
here.
Of course. Of course.
I would, you know, four wives. That'd be like almost one day off every other day. That'd be okay, yeah.
Do you imagine how many kids you would have?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, being an Irish Catholic. That's,
yeah,
you know.
We pop kids out left and right. We can't help ourselves, you know. So,
yeah.
Actually, I stopped at St. George, Utah. Did you ever go to St. George, Utah?
Mm-mm.
Nope. I stopped. They were all smoking cigarettes. They're all drinking coffee. And I said, gee, I'm sorry. I got the impression everybody here was Mormon. They said, oh, we're Jack Mormons. I had no idea what the hell they were talking about. He said, Bill, we are so far, we are the last city away from Salt Lake City. Therefore, we're very, very, very lax. So I figured, well, it sounds all right then, you know. But I did say at one point out in Salt Lake City, I saw no graffiti. I saw no gangs. Didn't see any legs. Everybody had long dresses on and all that. But I thought the city was very nice, you know.
Yeah.
Giving a nice rub to the Mormon people who, you know, they're still not going to let me in, but that's all right, you know.
This is his take on freedom of choice, Bill.
The thing about this country is they talk about how we have freedom of choice. You know, we have freedom of choice. Yeah, very limited. If it's an important thing, limited choice. Two political parties, essentially, two. Big media companies, five, six.
Max.
Yeah. Oil companies, down to three now, I think, overall, three or four. Banks, the big banks, the big brokerage houses, the big accounting firms. All the things that are important, reduced in choice. Newspapers in the city, how many? Used to be 3-4, now it's 1 or 2 that are owned by the same people, and they also own a radio station and a TV station. But jelly beans, 32 flavors. I speak all the things that don't matter. The unimportant things, a lot of choices. You know what I say? You know what your freedom of choice is in America? Paper or plastic.
Yeah.
That's it, man. It comes down to paper or plastic, cash or charge. Aisle or window, smoking or non-smoking,
yeah.
Coke or Pepsi, these are your choices. Everything else is kind of laid out for you. You get to do what they really want. They do what they want. The ones who own this country, they do what they want.
Speaking of our choices being usurped or taken away from us, what do you make of... Well, and I'm fascinated to ask you this because all the things that you've been talking about for years are... I mean, we've come full circle on this stuff. That's why I was so fascinated. Thank you for coming on the program. But here we are now, you know, 30 years after you were talking about it, with this huge debate, this huge fight about whether or not our civil liberties are being taken away from us. What are your thoughts on?
Well, I think if you looked at the record of laws which have been passed in the last 30 to 40 years, there's a thing called social hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
Social hysteria is whipped up generally by the media. Crime, in Nixon's time, crime was the big social hysteria issue. There's too much crime. The courts are coddling the criminals. We have tougher laws. So a lot of civil liberties went away in terms of the rights of criminals and the rights of the accused and people going on trial. These were limited. They were cut down. These rights, which are guaranteed by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Another social hysteria, drugs. The drug thing happened, same thing. Big flow of drugs. We're going to fight the drugs. We need newer, tougher laws. We need draconian sentences. We need to be able to go into houses. We need to be able to do this. We have reason. All of these shortcuts have resulted in less liberties because of social hysteria. The media whips up the frenzy. People get all excited.
Mm-hmm.
The legislature passes it. The president, the executive signs it. And the judges, then the judicial branch, okays it sometime later when it gets to them. And what has happened is you have less freedom, less liberties, less civil liberties, less rights. And the third social hysteria is terrorism. That was whipped up. Now, there's a little problem, a little more cause there. You look at the 9/11, it's a very dramatic event. But that, too, has been used with this Patriot Act to reduce our liberties. They say, well, if you got nothing to hide, what are you worried about? You know, that don't like you wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to tell me about the people that are, you know, just getting out of prison because of the DNA. If they had nothing to hide. It's just, listen, this country is owned by the ownership class. They do pretty much what they want. I think it's like a freak show. Here's what I do. You know what I do? To me, if you're born in the world, you get a ticket to the freak show. You get a ticket to the freak show. If you're born in America, you got a front row seat. So some people are in the freak show.
Yeah.
We got our freaks.
Yeah.
Then some people, they want to fix the freaks.
Yeah.
These are the ACLU lawyers, environmentalists. We'll just fix the freaks. We're going to fix most of it. Oh, isn't that terrible? Let's do this. And then there are folks who just watch the freak show.
Yeah.
As me. And some of us get to write about it or talk about it.
Right.
And I do that.
That's you too.
Yeah. And say, look at you. Look how badly you're doing. I don't even count myself in.
Yeah.
I say, look how badly you folks are doing. How did you do this to yourself? Why did you let them do?
Okay, you know, he's talking about our rights.
We
have
we got a quick message here, but...
what's the message? Who's the message?
She didn't want to interrupt us.
Why
not? She wanted to let us know that she's gonna go cause some controversy on Facebook, as well as put her son to bed.
I hope she puts her son to bed first.
Yeah.
Then goes controversy with that.
Right,
yeah.
So...
I'm always controversial on my Facebook, always.
I just want to say to you that, you know, America's a... great country. It truly is. I've been lucky enough to travel around the world. It's the greatest country in the whole world. But I don't know what my grandchildren are going to think of America when they grow up. It is changing so fast, so radically, and Americans are getting so disappointed. Can I ask you, when your grandchildren grow up, do you worry for them? Do you fear there's still going to be a great, great country, America? Or do you think, like, some people that, you know, the communism, the Chinese are going to take over. Let me get you, speak in that minute too, if you would, please.
Hmm.
Dr. Love wants to know.
You know, honestly, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
The world is going to be crazy. When my kids, grandkids, everybody, when they get big, it's going to be crazy.
It's going to be a clusterfuck when you get older.
Yeah. Thank you.
Pray they won't be so proud of America as I am.
Did you hear it at the beginning of the show? What I played?
No.
Okay. This one, if you can hang out for 2 seconds, I'll pull this up and you're going to enjoy it.
And you're very lucky because the last 15 minutes of every show, Screwdown is naked. So we're so glad you waited tonight because he takes all his clothes off. The last 15 minutes of the show. Right now, even though you can't see him, he's buck naked talking to you.
Oh, here we go.
Dr. Love is way off to the side. Dr. Love is way off to the side. But he's naked talking to you.
Awesome.
Well.
Don't start, Bill.
Boy, I was just...
Here we go. No, this is a guy who put this out on YouTube to President Obama.
Dr. Love says, hang on for a second now. Don't miss this. You'll fall down laughing.
This is to the government. The United States government. No. $14.6 trillion, B. All my credit cards would have been cut off a long time before that. All I'm asking y'all to do is balance a fucking budget, B. That's all y'all got to do. Son, we voted for y'all because we were worried about gay rights. All of these other things that we were concerned about. How can we get roads, more money for schools? You bastards can't even balance a checkbook. A checkbook, B? This is something every American has to go through every week. We got to figure out what we're going to pay, what we got to put off a little bit. You bastards got the $14.6 trillion before you realize, oh, shit, we've reached the debt ceiling. Listen, you're the best and the brightest. Harvard, Yale, Brown, Cornell, this is what we put out. Should have went to Norfolk State. Bastards, you would have got the same education. You would have spent a whole lot less money. Simple fucks. All I'm saying to you is... this isn't Democratic or Republican. This is everybody. Stop being a dickhead and balance the fucking budget. My second question, though, my second issue is, how do you owe China, B? How do you owe China? How can I tell my daughter with a straight face that capitalism is a better system than communism if we're borrowing all of our fucking money from the biggest communist country on the fucking planet? You ass, stop your life, B. Get your whole shit together. Get all of your shit together. Don't do another press conference. Fuck CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Don't do any more television appearances until you got my fucking budget balanced. And I'm going to tell you this. Everybody who has a loan to the federal government, fuck paying it. Don't pay your budget. Don't pay your bills because they ain't paying theirs. The fuck I got to pay my bills for if you don't pay your bills? I'm not doing what you don't do. You're the leader. I'm following. You don't pay, I don't pay. How about that, simple motherfuckers? What's the government? government's credit score right now. It's got to be a 350. But you motherfuckers going to tell me I can't buy a car if my credit score is at a certain number? Your whole life is a 350, B. Your FICO score, your Experian, fucking TransUnion, all your shit's slow, B. Get your shit together. President Obama, personal to you. All the black people was proud. We got a black president. You acting like one right now, B. Pay your fucking bills on time. Stop. I ain't even got, it's too fucking hot for me to talk. I'm sweating and shit. Shit got me sweating. You know why? Because y'all ain't paid a fucking light bill on Earth. That's why 37 fucking states right now going through a heat wave. Because not only y'all not pay the fucking Chinese, y'all didn't pay the fucking light bill. You see how fucking hot it is? I'm pissed the fuck. I can't.
What do you think of that?
I like it. That was good.
You know,
that
just quickly, I've never felt bad or never felt any animosity to a single Chinese person. But I'm telling you, America, it's a communist country. The goddamn government is no good. Capitalism, yeah. Communism. It's not going to happen. And yet our government, our big businesses, Walmart, Kmart, everybody is buying from China. It's only hurting ourselves. I believe most of us are going to be gone. But again, it's our children and our grandchildren. I worry about your grandchildren. I worry about what's the face of the new America. Mm-hmm. And again, because I badmouth China so much, people say, oh, he don't like Chinese. That's stupid. I've never met a Chinese with a gripe. But all communist country, North Korea, Cuba, anybody that's a communist country, America should not be doing business with communist countries.
I agree.
I've been beating that up a lot tonight. I guess I'll let that go. Anyway, I want to thank you. Dr. Love wants you to come back and talk to us sometime, all right? Dr. Love wants to hear about your feelings. Dr. Love wants you to tell us what's on your mind, all right?
It could be scary, but we'll talk about that next week.
All right, and I put that link. That link's on my page if you want to get it.
Oh, perfect. All right, thank you.
All right.
Good night. Thank you for calling. To our listeners, we appreciate your patience. If you like anything we said, share that with your neighbors. If we all share information, that's the one thing the government can't control from us. Good night, everybody, everywhere.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
They're going to lock us up one day. Come in a van, take both of us away.